Hello, everyone. My name is Tony Beckler, and welcome to my feature this week on Main Menu. Today we'll be starting a new series on Main Menu, our new feature anyway. I have no idea how long this program will last or the series, and a lot of it depends on how much feedback I get. If I get no feedback, then I may only do this initial program, I'm not sure. Anyway, we'll see what happens and we'll see where we end up. But today I'll be reviewing a program called Synchronet, which is a full-blown BBS package. Actually, it'll be more of a tutorial since I'll do a comprehensive review and show you many of its configurations and options, and we'll even set up a demo BBS to show off these features. And our little demo BBS, I'm not sure exactly what it will consist of, but it will have a full set of file and message areas and door games and bulletins and all the standard things that you would expect to find on a BBS, similar to the BBS I showed you on Program 2 of the Telnet series when I demonstrated Console Telnet. You may, of course, find that in the Main Menu on-demand archives. As I say, the name of this package is Synchronet. I'll give my contact information at the end of the program, but if you'd like to download Synchronet, go to http://synchro.net. That's http://synchro.net. Synchronet. Anyway, I'll be using Windows Eyes 4.2 and Eloquent and Vocalize 3.0 and DeckTalk Express for this review. And we will be going in and out of DOS mode as necessary. However, this program will primarily focus on running Synchronet in Windows. Today, I'll show you what's called the BBS control panel. I'll show you some of the menus, and we'll go through what they refer to as a configuration wizard. A few notes here. The latest official version is 3.00c. However, 3.10 is in beta test, and that is the version we'll be using. I'm running 3.10 beta G. I have no idea when the full product will be released. The author does not say, and I would recommend not asking. Anyway, if you'd like to use this beta, you must first download and install version 3.00C, and then download 3.10 beta, that's 310gbeta.zip from their FTP site, or on his download page. By the way, the site is very accessible, however, it does use frames, but there is a text menu that's very easy to follow, and there is a Linux version of Synchronet, but we will not be reviewing that here, and I know nothing about it. I've not tried it. The install is very typical. It's a standard install shield install. You just go through, follow the prompts, answer the questions, basically just hit next a few times. However, I very strongly, very, very, very strongly recommend reading the README files and the documentation. I cannot stress that enough, and again, I repeat, I very strongly recommend reading the README files and the documentation. There's a file that comes with 3.10G called v310-new.txt. That's v310-new.txt, and I very, very highly recommend reading it also. If nothing else, even if you decide not to run beta software, which I would recommend if you're not sure what you're doing and you're worried about security of your system, I would not run beta software. However, I found it to be fine and it appears to be bug-free. But even if you decide to not run that version, please look over the What's a New file so you at least have an idea where Synchronet development is going. This is an amazingly powerful BBS package. I can't stress that enough either. And he's really done a great job on this. It has some really awesome features. I had an idea of what I would think a dream BBS would be like 5 or so years ago when the BBS scene was starting to die out but wasn't completely dead yet. And this surpasses all of my expectations and then some. With this package, and it is free by the way, it's released as open source under the new public license or GPL. You have an NMTP news server, SMTP server, mailing list support, finger support, bulletins, obviously, doors and things like this. You can run DOS door games. It comes with this built-in Fossil driver. It does not come with Z modem support, but that's planned. Of course, you have a full-blown Telnet server, and FTP server, and Gopher, and HTTP server. That is several servers combined into one free package. You can truly run your own online service as opposed to your own BBS if you want. I could easily see someone paying a few hundred US dollars for such a package, but again, I say it is free. I have looked at a demo Gopher server and the web server, and it's really cool. It's really nice stuff. You've definitely got to look at Synchro.net and look around and see what he's done with this. It's really amazing. I can't praise it enough. Anyway, so I'll now go into the control panel and show you around. First, what we'll do is look at the tab controls and the general screen layout, and then we'll look through the menus. So now I'll go to my desktop. That is one thing I will comment on, by the way, is that you do not get a choice, but it automatically puts this icon on the desktop in your startup program group. If you don't want that, you have to manually delete it out of your startup group, but I suggest leaving it on the desktop because it does not install it anywhere in your start menu. So if you don't want it on your desktop, you'll have to manually move it somewhere in your start menu to a more convenient location. Anyway, so I'll jump to my desktop and go to Synchronet.
Desktop, Synchronet, 9 of 10.
And I'll hit enter.
Synchronet control panel. Read-only edit box.
And the first thing we start off in is a read-only edit box. This mostly shows logs of activity. I'll just hit the down arrow. This particular box is empty, so I'll press tab.
Notes. 1 of 3 tab control.
This is the node tab control. In other words, this shows who's connected to each node. I'll hit tab here.
Top. 1 waiting for call. 1 of 4 no selected item multi-selection. List box.
And we also have
2 waiting for call.
And
bottom 4 waiting for call.
3 and 4 are also waiting for call, so I'll hit shift tab.
Notes. 1 of 3 tab control.
And I'll press the right arrow.
Clients. 2 of 3. Statistics. 3 of 3.
Now I'll press the left arrow to go back to client.
Clients. 2 of 3.
And I'll press tab again.
No selected item. List view.
And probably because we have no one connected right now, so I'll hit shift tab.
Clients. Statistics.
And go to statistics and hit tab.
View log. Button.
And we have view log button. Now I should also say that this is a brand new installation of the BBS. I haven't done anything with it at all. All I did is install it, run it to make sure it works, and that's it. It had no configuration or anything. This is exactly as if it would be right out of the box. So anyway, I'll hit space here.
BBS statistics log. Read only edit box. Exclamation point error opening csbbsctrlcsts.tab.
And obviously that's because it's a brand new setup. I'll hit escape. That doesn't work, so I'll hit Alt-F4.
Synchronous control panel. View log. Button.
And I'll just put that back to node.
Statistic. Notes. What?
And I'll hit tab twice.
Mail server. 1 of 1 tab control.
This is the built-in mail server. And I'll hit tab. Again, this is a log of what's going on with the mail server.
Read-only edit box. 325-53-54 maximum clients 10. 325-53-54 maximum inactivity 120 seconds. 325-53-54 0152 SMTP socket open. 325-53-54 0152 SMTP.
And I'll just stop the talking here, but as you can see, it's very accessible and very user-friendly and speech-friendly. It's very easy to navigate around. Anyway, I'll press the down arrow to read the last line in this box. And I'll press up arrow.
325-53-54-0152 mail server thread started.
And it's basically telling me that the mail server is running. I'll hit tab again.
Telnet server. 1 of 2 tab control.
And this is the built-in telnet server. I'll just hit right arrow here.
Events. 2 of 2.
Events. That's for timed events. We'll get into that later. And I'll just hit left arrow.
Telnet server.
By the way, I'm not going to spend a lot of time explaining BBS terminology. I very highly, again, emphasize, very highly recommend you read the documentation. That is an absolute must. You must read the documentation. Again, I repeat, you must read the documentation. I know that this sounds redundant and repetitive, but you really must read the documentation to have any idea at all what's going on. Otherwise, you'll be absolutely clueless and you'll have no idea what any of this means. I don't mean to be demeaning or to patronize you or anything like that, except that I have run a BBS before and it requires a great deal of time and a lot of effort. You cannot just decide, well, I think I'll run a BBS today. It won't work. You can plan on almost treating it like a baby at first. It needs a lot of your time and attention. Things go wrong and you need to set things up, and just for a very basic setup, you can plan on at least 2 or 3 days. That's why I say to fully go through and explain every single concept and every single term would easily be a 1 week seminar and then some, and even then there are just everyday things that we couldn't cover here. So I will not spend a lot of time explaining the BBS terminology. If there's something you really don't understand and you just can't find an answer, then feel free to write to me. Again, my contact information is at the end of the program, but please try to find your answers. on your own first by reading the documentation, and I will show you how you can read the documentation shortly. Anyway, so I will try to explain certain terms, what they mean as we come to them, but I'll not spend a lot of time on this. Anyway, briefly, timed events are just what they sound like. For example, every day at midnight, you might want your BBS to automatically delete old users or something. Or every day at 2 a.m., you have ZMH, Zone Mail Hour. That's for FidoNet Echo Mail. And again, if you don't know what these terms mean, I suggest you read the documentation. It's very comprehensive and very worthwhile reading. It's commercial quality. Anyway, I'll hit tab here.
Read only edit box. 325.50.353 SMDLIBV 2.14 format 1.21. 325.50.354 Microsoft SOC 32.dll ver 2.232 bit of APR 22.1999.2029.325.50.355.
And that's simply telling us about the Telnet server, and I'll hit up arrow. And I'll hit up arrow again.
325.50.355 a BBS events JavaScript initializing context stack 16384-bit. 325.50.355 a BBS events JavaScript creating runtime 8,000,003.
And it does use JavaScript extensively. We'll get more into that as we encounter it. And like I said, because of JavaScript, you have lots of add-on modules, like your news server, your mail server, your finger server, your gopher server, your web server, etc. And I suppose you could easily write your own add-on modules if you want. Also, you have a finger client, all written in JavaScript. Anyway, I'll hit Shift-Tab and right arrow and tab again.
Telnet server. Events. Read only. Edit box. 325.50.355 a BBS events thread started. 325.50.356 awaiting for all nodes to become inactive. Before running time 325.50.358 a running times event main 325.50.358 a executing external CSBBS exec times.
And that's pretty well self-explanatory. So again, I'll just hit tab.
Services. One of two tab.
And we have a couple tabs here. We have services and
FTP server.
FTP server. I'll hit left arrow and tab.
Services. Read only edit box. 325.50.353 asynchronous services version 1.00 debug 325.50.354 a compiled MAR 120.22.05.15 with MSC 1200 325.50.354 a Microsoft SOC 32.
And I'll stop that talking, and it says debug there because this is beta software, and there probably are bugs. So please realize that if we do come across a bug or something that doesn't appear to work correctly, he may very well fix it before the final release, and feel free to write it to the author if you feel that there are accessibility issues which he isn't addressing. Anyway, I'll press the up arrow.
325.50.354.0176 finger socket bound to port 79.
And there's your finger server.
325.50.354.0160 NNTP socket bound to port 119.
There's your NNTP or news server.
325.50.354 loading configuration files from CSBBSC.
And it's loading, etc.
Services. One of two tab control. Server. FTP server.
Now we'll briefly look at your FTP server. By the way, the FTP server is very good. I recommend it.
Read only edit box. 325.50.353 asynchronous FTP server version 1.10 debug 320.
And I'll just hit up arrow a couple times. By the way, the FTP server is in version 3.0, but the finger and NNTP servers are still in beta testing and are only available in this beta release.
325.50.354.0164 FTP server thread started on port 21.
And there's your FTP server, and I'll hit tab.
Nodes. One of three tab control.
And we're back to node. Now I'll go through the menu bar. We have a lot of menus here, and they are as follows. I'll hit Alt. And I'll just press right arrow.
F equals file pull down. B equals BBS pull down. U equals user pull down. T equals telnet pull down. M equals mail pull down. P equals FTP pull down. S equals services pull down. V equals view pull down. H equals help pull down. System pull down. F equals type.
And we're back to file. A very extensive menu bar. You can get to a lot of things just from within this control panel. Now I'll go a little bit out of order here. And I'll show you the help menu first so you can see readily how you can get to the documentation. So I'll just left arrow twice.
H equals help pull down.
Now with these menus, you have to arrow to the menu and hit down arrow to activate it. Now when I hit down arrow, the menu opens but it doesn't say anything. So I have to go up arrow and then down arrow.
Index.
And then it says index, and that's the first item. That is a little obnoxious, but it just takes getting used to.
SysOp manual.
There is your SysOp manual. SysOp is system operator. I'll show you that briefly in a moment.
Frequently asked questions. About dialog. Index. SysOp manual.
And I'll just briefly show you this. As you can see, there's a lot of very good help here. I'll press
menu
enter.
Closed.
And
notes.
It goes into
one
Internet Explorer.
Control. Microsoft Internet Explorer.
Listen to the table of contents of
this
system.
Synchronous DBS software SysOp documentation. Loading page. Load done. Synchronous DBS multi-node bulletin board software link synchronous system operator documentation SysOp documentation table of contents features link 1. Dot. Installation 1.0 installation link 1.1 getting started link 1.2 how to get help link 1.3 about this manual link 2. Dot. Configuration 2.0 system configuration link 2.1 message options link 2.2 system options link 2.3 toggle options link 2.4 new user values link.
And that's just the first page. I'll just randomly pick a section here and let you hear how clear the instructions are.
System security level values link.
And I'll just press enter on this.
Loading page. Looking for visible line found. Load done. This option allows you to define the values of the security level 099 dot. Selecting the desired security level will bring you to another menu similar to the following. Here you can modify the corresponding values for that particular security level. These values will be given to all users who have the selected security level. Many of these values may be overridden by giving certain users the necessary exemptions. If required, dot 2.8 expired account values. This submenu contains the account values for expired.
And that goes into the configuration program, which we will not get into here. So I'll press Alt F4 and get out of this.
Notes 1 of 3 tab control.
And we're back to the control panel, and I'll just hit tab.
Bottom 4 wait.
And hit home.
Top 1.
Anyway, the help is very detailed, as I said, so please, please read the help and the documentation, especially if you're serious about wanting to run a BBS. I can also tell you from looking at the Telnet BBS list that many BBSs start out okay, and they're up for about a month, and then they die out because people just don't have the time or attention, or they just don't read the manual and things like that. If you want your BBS to be popular, it's a must that you read the manual and know what's going on. Anyway, so now I'll expand and look at the file menu, so I'll hit Alt.
F equals file pull down.
Down arrow. Up arrow. And down arrow.
Open. Dialog. Save settings. Sounds. Properties. Exit. Open. Dialog.
And I'll just look at that briefly.
Menu closed. Edit box. N equals file name. T equals files of type. Top text files.txt 1 of 6. Combo box. Top. Log files.log. Config files.cfd. Message files.msg. Ask 4 of 6. Bajasource.src. 5 of 6. Bottom. All files. Edit. Synchronous.
And
top.
It's Baja, B-A-J-A. Is its command language. It does actually support two different programming languages. One is Baja, and the other is JavaScript. So you can write very detailed programs with Synchronet. Also, you can write, if, for example, and we'll show you this later after we get the BBS configured, your own chat client or things like that. Also, one thing Synchronet supports is kind of like in the old days of the Internet, it supports inter-messaging. Now, this is not like inter-BBS games or things like this. This is where you can go into your chat menu and send a message to someone else on a different BBS who happens to be in their chat menu. You might find full instructions on this in the beta version. This is a beta feature, and it gives you clear documentation on how to set that up. Anyway, now we'll go to the next menu.
F equals B equals BBS pull down.
I'll press down arrow, up arrow, and down arrow.
Configure. Configuration wizard. Reload configuration. Login. SysOp available for chat. Force times event. Force network call out. View pull down. Edit pull down. Filters pull down. Configure.
And we'll just go back and briefly look at these menus.
Edit pull down. View pull down. Error log. Statistics log.
We're just in the view menu. I'm hitting down arrow.
Today's log. Yesterday's log. Another day's log. Error log.
And I'll hit left arrow and down arrow and right arrow. Up arrow.
Grow brain.
Down arrow.
Text strings. Default colors. Notes full message.
This is the edit menu, by the way.
Answer screen. Log on message. Auto message. Zip file comment. System information. New user message. New user password failure. New user feedback instructions. Grow brain.
Now let me briefly explain. I'll hit the down or the left arrow and the down arrow.
Menu. Filters pull down.
And the right arrow. And the up arrow and the down arrow.
IP address filter.
Now let me briefly explain the guru, as they call it. That is sort of like, there was a door game many years ago on BBS. I can't remember the name of it right now. There might have been more than one, actually. And it was more or less artificial intelligence. It tricked you into thinking you were chatting with a real person or the sysop, but in reality, it was a computer. Now, the way this works is Guru is built into Synchronet, and it does the same thing, but it can actually be useful. It does use artificial intelligence, but you can actually ask it questions and get useful answers, like... For example, you might ask, how do I use the BBS or how do I download a file or something? And you can edit it so that it will actually tell you how to do those things, and it's kind of like a helping hand. So that can be very useful. Also, I don't know of any other BBS package that has anything like this. Anyway, IP filter.
IP address filter message. Hostname filter. Hostname filter message. Username filter. Username filter message. Email address filter. Email address filter message. Email subject filter. File name filter. File name filter message. Phone number filter. Phone number filter message. IP address filter.
And basically that's to lock people out, so to speak. For example, if you have someone from the host name called example.com who's a real pest, and you block them, but a new user comes along from example.com, and they always use different usernames, and they try to hack into your system or something, you can simply go to the host name filter, block every host from or connection from example.com, and that's the end of it. I think. I've not actually used the filters, but that's what I would presume that they would do. Anyway, I'll hit left arrow.
Menu closed. Filters full. Configure.
And we're back to configure. Now, if I hit enter here, it will open a configuration program which runs in a DOS box, which I don't have the DeckTalk plugged in right now to record that, and that will be for another program. However, the next option,
configuration wizard,
is just that. It is a configuration wizard. This is new for this release. This is not in 3.00. This is in beta, and this is actually part of the control panel, so I'll hit enter here.
Menu closed. Configuration wizard. N equals next. Button top one waiting for call 1-4 multi-selection list box.
And I'll hit control shift W, and it will read this dialog.
Configuration wizard. Graphic welcome. This wizard will take you through the configuration of the basic parameters required to run the Synchronet bulletin board system. All of these parameters may be changed later using this wizard, or the Synchronet configuration utility SCFD. You really should have an active internet connection in order to complete this configuration wizard accurately. So if you're not already connected, please do so now. Synchronet introduction identification time and date internet QWKID maximums options verify completely equals back button disable.
And I do have an active internet connection, so I'll hit next. I'm running a program called Tiny Personal Firewall, and you can go back, well, way back in the main menu on demand archives. I believe Dave Williams did a feature on that. And so if you hear it come up and say something about permit or deny in checkbox, then I might just have to check that real quick. But I'm leaving that on so I can show you when it accesses the internet and when it doesn't. It's very well behaved about that. Unless you tell it to or it has a reason to, it doesn't. By the way, that firewall has not come up at all since I started this review, for example. Anyway, I do have an active internet connection. I'm running cable, and so I'll see what's on the screen.
Configuration wizard graphic. System name, try to be original. My BBS system location, city, state, my city, state, system operator, your name, nickname, or alias, SISOP system password, super secret password for SISOP Synchronet introduction identification time and date internet QWKID maximums up.
Yeah, and I'll stop that. One thing I'll also tell you is I'll just put in dummy values here. But I will say one thing, and that is that you cannot connect to this BBS we're going to set up, so don't even try. My IP address is 192.168.0.3, and I'm behind a hardware firewall as well as Tiny Personal Firewall, so you can really not ever access my BBS. It's unavailable to the outside world. This is strictly for demo purposes.
C equals cancel. Button.
I'm just tapping.
Edit box. My BBS.
And this is the BBS name, so I'll type main menu BBS. Why not?
M-A-I-N space M-E-N-U space caps on B-B-S caps off.
And I'll hit tab.
Edit box. My city, state.
And I'll put in my city, which is El Cajon, E-L space C-A-J-O-N, California.
E-L space C-A-J-O-N, comma, space C-A, edit box, size up.
And I'll put in my name, which is Tony Beckler.
T-O-N-Y, space, B-A-E-C-H-L-E-R.
And I'll hit tab.
Edit box.
I'm not sure what this is.
B equals back button. Edit box.
This must be my password field, so I'll just enter.
A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. B equals back. N equals next.
And
button.
I'll hit space.
Space. Configuration wizard graphic. Time zone group box U.S. Pacific graphic daylight savings checkbox unchecked. Time format group box graphic 12 hour PM radio button checked. Graphic 24 hour military radio button unchecked. Date format group box graphic.
And I'll stop the talking here and hit tab.
C equals cap. 12 hour PM radio button checked.
That's fine.
American MMDDI radio button checked.
That's fine.
U.S. Pacific 6 of 34 combo box.
That is my time zone.
Daylight savings checkbox. Unchecked.
And I'm not on daylight savings yet. Not till April, anyway.
B equals back. N equals next.
And I'll hit space.
Space. Configuration wizard. Graphic your internet address static IP or hostname MIPS.com. DNS server IP address IDRISTS DNS server synchronous introduction identification time. B equals back. C equals cancel button.
And I'm just hitting tab here.
Combo edit box. MIPS.com top 1 of 3 temp 2 of 3. 192.168.0.3. Bottom
temp here.
Temp 68.0.3. 2 of 3.
That's my computer name. That's probably fine. Actually, so I think I'll just leave it at temp. I'll hit Control Shift S to speak summary.
Temp 2 of 3.
And that's good, so I'll just hit tab.
Edit box. DNS server IP address IDRISTS DNS server.
I'm not sure exactly what that is. So I'll have to go look that up.
68.1.17.236.
Anyway, that is my DNS server. That is correct. So I'll hit tab.
B equals back button. N equals next button.
And I'll hit space.
Space.
And Alt Shift or Control Shift W.
Configuration wizard. Graphic your BBS's QWK ID is used for unique system identification and QWK message packets. QWK message packets are utilized in offline mail readers, and some message networks e.g.dovnet. Your QWK ID should be an abbreviation of your system name, and may consist of up to 8 valid DOS file name characters, and must begin with a letter. BBS QWK ID system name abbreviation MIPS illegal characters apostrophe question mark semicolon comma apostrophe QWK network tagline system advertisement my brand new BBS synchronous introduction identification.
And what that means, explain a little bit. You may remember what QWK is from the old days, but basically you can download your mail in packets, kind of like how you download your email today, only it's actually in compressed mail packets instead of individual messages, and those are called QWK packets, or Blue Wave or Silver Express, depending. Each different mail reader had different names, but the generic mail reader format was QWK. Dovnet is the network it mentioned here that is run by the author of Synchronet, and that's primarily Synchronet systems. Anyway, for this example, I'll type main menu.
C equals cancel but edit box, MIPS. M-A-I-N-M-E-N-U.
However, we will not be going into details on Dovnet and QWK here, or at least not for a very long time.
Edit box, my brand new BBS.
This is the ad, or advertisement, so I'll put main menu review BBS.
M-A-I-N space, M. E-N-U space R-E-V-I-E-W space B-B-S B equals back. N equals next. Button.
And I'll hit space.
Space.
And Control Shift W.
Configuration wizard graphic maximum number of simultaneous BBS users nodes. 4 graphic all nodes are accessible via telnet checkbox check maximum number of simultaneous FTP sessions 10 maximum number of simultaneous mail sessions 10 synchronous introduction identification time.
And that's fine as is, so I won't change any of that.
N equals next.
And I'll hit space.
Space.
And I'll hit Control Shift W.
Configuration wizard graphic. New users group box graphic allow users to log on as new checkbox. Check graphic allow users to use aliases nicknames checkbox check graphic require new user feedback email checkbox unchecked users can view deleted messages group box graphic yes radio button unchecked graphic no radio.
And I'll stop some of that talking here. As you may remember from when we log on to our BBS with console telnet, you type new. as a new user and log in and then create your user account. I can, however, uncheck that so that new users are not allowed and I have to manually add them. I don't want that, so I'll leave that checked.
See, require new user feedback email. Checkbox unchecked.
And that basically means that you have to leave a comment to the SysHop before you can be validated. I find that very annoying, and I will always disconnect BBSs that do that, so I leave that unchecked.
Allow users to log on as new. Checkbox checked.
And that's what I was just talking about, so that people can log in as new users. I'll leave that checked.
Allow users to use aliases nicknames. Checkbox checked.
I like to know people on a personal real name basis, so I'll uncheck that.
Space. Unchecked. Sysops only. Radio button checked.
I'm not sure exactly what this is. I'll route my mouse pointer and look around here.
Pointer routed to radio button. Graphic. Sysops only radio. Graphic. No radio button. Unchecked. Graphic. Sysop. Synchronous. Graphic. Yes radio. Users can view deleted messages. Group box.
Well, obviously I don't want users to be able to view deleted messages. However, I'm the sysop and I should be able to do that. So I'll leave that as is.
B equals back. N equals next.
And we're back to next, and I'll hit space.
Space. Edit box.
Control Shift W.
Configuration wizard graphic. System password verification. At this point, you must re-enter the system password that you created earlier in this configuration wizard. The same password will be required of you via the SI prompt when you log on to the BBS with any user account that has system operator SISO privileges I.E level 90 or higher. Synchronous introduction identification.
So I'll just simply enter the password which I entered before when I set up a system password.
B equals back. C equals cancel but edit box. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. B equals, N equals, space.
And control shift W.
Configuration wizard graphic. Congratulations. You have completed the initial configuration of the basic parameters required to run Synchronous, the only intelligent choice in BBS software for the internet age. Thanks for choosing Synchronous. Synchronous introduction identification. F equals finish.
And there's finish, so I'll hit space.
Space. Synchronous control panel. Top. One waiting for call. 1-4 multi-selection is
on. And now we're back to the control panel. And by the way, Tiny Personal Firewall has still not come up, which tells me that it has not actually made any attempt to make an outgoing connection to the internet. But anyway, I'll move right along through the menus.
F equal. U equals user pull down.
This is the user menu, so I'll hit the down arrow.
Menu. Truncate deleted. List.
List.
Editor.
Editor. This is to edit users. For example, if I wanted to delete a user or change the security level or give them more time online or something.
Truncate deleted users. List.
And that's it for that menu, so I'll hit right arrow.
Menu closed.
And down arrow.
Start disabled.
I'm not sure where I am, actually.
Menu closed. T equals telnet pull down.
I'm in the telnet menu, so this is to control the telnet server. We have...
Configure.
Configure.
Start disabled.
Well, it's obviously already started, so we can't start it.
Stop.
That's to turn it off.
Edit pull down.
Edit, and I'll look at that in a minute.
Configure.
And we're back to configure, so I'll look at the edit menu. Up arrow and right arrow.
Edit pull down.
Down arrow, up arrow, and down arrow. And this appears to be an empty menu. This could be a bug, I'm not sure. Anyway, I'll hit left arrow.
Menu closed.
And down arrow.
Configure.
And we'll look at that.
Menu closed. Telnet server configuration. Top. One waiting for call. 1-4 multi-selection list box general. 1-4 tab control.
And we have four tabs here. We have general.
Telnet. 2-4.
Telnet.
Rlogin. 3-4.
Rlogin. That's mostly used on Linux and Unix. I would actually recommend leaving that off because there's really no need for it. That stands for remote login, by the way, so people can bypass the enter username prompt and all of this.
Sound. 4.
And sound, I'll hit home.
General. 1.
And I'll hit tab.
Edit box. 1.
And I'm not sure where we are, so I'll hit Control-Shift-W.
Telnet server configuration graphic general telnet. Relogin sound first node 1 graphic auto startup checkbox check last node 4 graphic minimize externals checkbox. Checked external yield 10 graphic QWKMSG events checkbox check graphic hostname lookup checkbox check graphic JavaScript support checkbox check graphic identity lookup checkbox uncheck default OK button cancel.
There's quite a bit here, so I'll just press tab. The one that you heard is the first node number, and one is the logical choice, so I'll hit tab.
Edit box. 4.
That's the last node. We do want 4 nodes, although I could change this to 2 and only have 2 nodes, or I could change it to 99 and have 99 nodes if my computer supported it.
Edit box. 10.
I'll just look at that with the mouse pointer.
Pointer out at the 10. External yield. 10. Number of polls before yielding time slices for external dust fossil programs.
And there you go. It has tooltips, and there's an explanation as to what that is.
Hostname lookup. Checkbox. Checked.
Let's try that with hostname lookup and see what it says.
Pointer out at the checkbox. Automatically lookup client's hostname via DNS.
And I don't really need that. I would suggest that you leave that on if you're making your BBS available to the outside world, but since I'm not, I'll uncheck that. And it does save some time.
Space. Unchecked. Automatically lookup client's...
Tab.
Identity lookup. Checkbox. Unchecked.
I'm not sure what that is, so I'll route my mouse pointer.
Pointer out at the checkbox. Automatically lookup client's identity via ident protocol.
And most telnet clients don't support that, so there's really no need to check that, so I'll leave that unchecked.
Auto startup. Checkbox checked.
That obviously means to start the telnet server when the BBS starts. Since you can't log in otherwise, that's a good idea.
Minimize externals checkbox. Checked.
Let me just clarify some terminology here. What you know as doors or door games or things like that, online programs, it's calling external programs. Basically, it's the same thing. Any door game would be considered an external program. So I'll just route my mouse pointer here and see what this help says.
Pointer out at the checkbox. External programs run in a minimized window.
That's a very good idea for speech users especially, so it's not in the way of window eyes and the control panel.
QWKMSG events. Checkbox checked.
And I'll route my pointer to this, but I'll probably uncheck this because we're not going to do to QWK.
Pointer out at the checkbox. Handle QWK message packet events in this instance.
And no, we don't want to do that, so I'll hit space.
Space. Unchecked. Handle
Tab. Tab.
JavaScript support checkbox. Checked.
That we definitely do want, so I can show you some of the features here, but let's just read the help for this anyway.
Pointer out at the checkbox. Enable JavaScript support.
And again, that gives you your finger, your gopher, your news servers, etc.
Okay. Button.
Okay.
Cancel. Apply.
Cancel, apply, and we're back to tab controls.
General.
And I'll hit right arrow.
Telnet.
And tab.
Edit box. 23.
That's the port number to use for Telnet.
Edit box. Any.
I'm not sure what this is, so I'll route the mouse pointer.
Pointer out at the caret. Enter your network adapter static IP address here, blank for any.
And I do have a static IP address, so I'll enter that.
192, period, 168, period, 0, period, 3.
And hit tab.
Send keep alive checkbox. Unchecked.
And hit, route my mouse pointer.
Pointer out at the checkbox. Instruct WinSock to keep your dial-up connection active.
I have cable, so I don't need that, but I should just advise you that if you're using most dial-up providers, they do have things strictly in their policy against using keep-alive programs like this, so you do so at your own risk.
Log received commands. Checkbox unchecked.
I'm not sure exactly what this is, but it's unchecked, so we'll probably leave it that way. But just in case, I'll route my mouse pointer.
Pointer out at the checkbox. Log debug all received telnet commands.
We really don't need that. Again, that could be a very big disk file for no reason, so I'll hit tab.
Auto-login via IP. Checkbox. Unchecked.
Now, this is a very interesting feature. I'll route my mouse pointer here and explain about this.
Pointer out at the checkbox. Allow the exempt users to auto-log on based on their IP address.
Now, if, for example, I'm connecting from the static IP address 127.0.0.1, and I always connect from that address, which, as a matter of fact, I would be connecting from that address because that's localhost, which is my domain, but just, for example, pretend that I'm a Telnet user, and that is my static IP address. You can check this box so that it will automatically log users in who connect from that IP address, so I don't have to enter my username or password or anything like that. That could be very dangerous, and I suggest leaving that off, because if someone does happen to log in with a dynamic IP address, and then just by chance another BBS user happens to log in from that same dynamic IP address without realizing, even though it's a whole different user, he or she could be logged in as the wrong user, and you don't want to deal with that, so I'd leave that unchecked. Anyway, I'll hit tab.
Okay. Cancel. Apply button. Telnet. 2 of 4.
And right arrow.
Relogin. 3 of 4.
I'll uncheck that if it's checked, but I'm not going to spend much time here.
Enabled. Checkbox. Unchecked. Okay. Relogin.
And I'll hit right arrow.
Sound.
Sound, and we'll see what we have here.
Edit box.
And I'll route my mouse pointer.
Pointer routed to caret. Sound file to play when accepting an incoming connection.
That's so you know if someone connected. That could be useful, especially if you're using speech and have the program minimized. It will play a sound to let you know that someone's online.
Button. Edit box. Pointer routed to caret. Sound file to play when disconnecting.
And that should be obvious.
Button.
By the way, that's a browse button, I think.
Okay. Button.
And there's an okay button, and I'll hit space here.
Space. Synchronous control panel. Top.
And back to the menus.
F equals B elite. T equals telnet. M equals mail pull down.
And let's see what we have under mail.
Configure. Start disabled.
It's already started, as you heard before.
Stop.
That's to turn it off.
View pull down.
View.
Edit pull down. Configure.
And we'll go back to the view and look at that.
View pull down.
And hit right arrow.
Today's log. Yes. Another day. Spam log. Today's log.
It has a spam log here. That could be useful. And I'll hit left arrow and down arrow.
Menu. Edit. Domain list. Allowed relay list.
This is the edit menu, by the way.
Alias list. Domain list.
And this gets fairly technical, so I won't spend time here, except that it has your own private outgoing SMTP server if you need it. This could be very useful if you own your own domain, and you could have Synchronet act as your mail server if you want.
Menu. Configure.
And I'll briefly look at that.
Menu closed. Mail server configuration. Top. One waiting for call. Okay. Cancel. Apply button. General. 1 of 5 tab control.
We have lots of tab controls here. We have...
General. 1 of 5.
And I'll just right arrow.
SMTP. 2 of 5. Top 3. 3 of 5. Send mail. 4 of 5. Sound. 5 of 5.
And I'll go back to general.
General. What? Auto startup checkbox. Checked.
That's obviously self-explanatory.
Hostname lookup. Checkbox. Checked.
You'd probably definitely want that on for your mail server. I'll leave that on.
Edit box. Any.
And I'll route the mouse pointer.
Pointer routed to caret. Enter your network adapter static IP address here blank for any. 192.168.0.3.
And tab.
Edit box. 10. Pointer routed to caret. Maximum number of simultaneous clients default 10.
And I'll make that
3.
3 because that's more than enough for our purposes.
Edit box. 120. Insert pointer routed to caret. Maximum number of seconds of inactivity before disconnect default 120.
And that's more than enough, so hit tab.
Log TX. Checkbox. Unchecked. Pointer routed to checkbox. Log all transmitted mail commands and responses for debugging.
And that could be very big. You don't need to do that, really.
Log to disk. Checkbox checked. Insert. Pointer routed to checkbox. Save log entries to a file in your data directory. OK button.
And there's the OK, cancel and apply.
General. 1 of 5 tab. SMTP.
That's an outgoing mail server.
Edit box. 25.
That's the port number. You don't want to change that unless you have a good reason.
RX by user number checkbox. Unchecked. Pointer routed to checkbox. Allow mail to be received for users by number i.e1europes.com.
And that's optional, obviously. If you have a lot of users, and in some cases it might be easier, say, if I'm user number 500, I can be 500 at example.com as opposed to tony.beckler at example.com.
Edit box. Default user. Pointer routed to caret. Mail for unknown users will go into this user's mailbox e.gsysop.
That should be self-explanatory. That's like the postmaster.
RBL. Checkbox unchecked. Pointer routed to checkbox. Use real-time black hole list RBL spam filter.
I believe you have to pay for that now. I'm not sure.
RSS. Checkbox unchecked. Insert. Pointer routed to checkbox. Use relay spam stopper RSS spam filter.
I'm not sure about that.
Dull. Checkbox unchecked. Pointer routed to checkbox. Use dial-up user list dull spam filter.
There are lots of good filtering here.
Log headers checkbox. Unchecked. Pointer routed to checkbox. Log all received mail headers for debugging.
That could be useful if you do get a lot of spam and you need to track it down. And since I'm not really anticipating getting mail here, I'll check that. However, you will probably want to leave that unchecked.
Space. Checked. Okay. Button. SMTP. 2 of 5 tab
control. Now we're going to set up POP3, which is the incoming mail server.
POP3. 3 of 5. Edit box. 110.
That's the port number. You probably don't want to change that.
Log checkbox. Object. Pointer out at the checkbox. Log all top 3 user activity.
You don't need that check, usually.
Enable checkbox. Checked. Pointer out at the checkbox. Enable the top 3 server requires restart of mail server.
That will leave checked.
Okay. Button. Top 3. 3. A 5 tab control.
And I'll hit right arrow.
Send mail. 4. A 5. Enabled. Checkbox. Checked. Pointer out at the checkbox. Enable the send mail thread requires restart of mail server.
I believe that's so you can send mail in the background.
Edit box. 50. Insert. Pointer out at the caret. Maximum number of delivery attempts. Edit box. 3600. Pointer out at the caret. Seconds between message base rescans. DNS server. Radio button checked. Pointer out at the radio button. Send mail directly to address mail server requires DNS server access. Edit box. 68.1. DNS server. Radio button checked.
I just pressed down arrow. I'll hit up arrow now.
Edit box. 3600. DNS server. Radio button. Checked.
So you really can't change that.
Edit box. 68.1.
That's my DNS. I'll leave that.
TCP. Checkbox. Unchecked. Pointer out at the checkbox. Use TCP packets instead of UDP for DNS queries. Okay. Button. Send mail. 4 or 5 tab control.
And finally.
Sound.
That should be self-explanatory.
Edit box. Pointer out at the caret. Sound file to play when inbound SMTP connections are accepted.
And I won't go through the rest of this. It should be obvious. I'll go to OK.
Sound. 5. Button. Edit box. Button. OK button. Space. Synchronous control panel.
Okay, moving right along through the menus. After the menu for the mail server, we have this.
M equals mail. P equals FTP pull down.
The FTP menu, and that's for the FTP server. If I hit down arrow, up arrow, and down arrow, we have...
Configure. Start disabled. Stop. View pull down. Edit pull down. Configure.
And we're back to the configure menu. Most of that should be self-explanatory. Obviously, you can't start the server if it's already started. The view menu we've already looked at, that's pretty standard. And the edit menu we'll look at also. We'll briefly take a look at the view menu for the FTP. But it's the same as the mail server, etc. But mostly we'll look at the configure menu. So, again, moving along, we have this.
View pull down.
In the view menu.
Today's log.
Today's log.
Yesterday's log. Menu club.
Today's log, yesterday's log, another day's log, etc. So we won't spend any more time on that. Instead, we'll move on to the edit menu. And there's quite a bit you can edit here, actually.
Edit pull down. Login message. Hello message. Goodbye message. File name aliases. Login message. Menu closed. Edit. Configure. Menu closed.
And hit enter on that.
FTP server configuration. General. 1. A 4 tab control.
We have general and hitting the right arrow.
Index. 2. A 4. Log. 3. A 4. Sound. 4. A 4.
And finally we have sound. Now the sound is pretty well standard, same as other servers, so we won't spend any time going through that. But I'll hit home, go to general, and see what there is.
General. 1. A 4. Auto startup. Checkbox. Checked. Hostname lookup. Checkbox checked. Edit box. Any. Pointer out at the caret. Your network adapter static IP address are blank for any.
Now I should comment here. I've been entering my static IP address, which I'll enter in a minute. But actually if you have a router or hardware firewall, as I have, you will have a static IP address, such as the one I'm going to enter here. But if you are not using that, if you're even on cable or dial-up, or if you have a dynamic DNS entry like DNS2Go.com, etc., then you will not have a static IP address, so in that case you should leave that blank. But anyway, I do have a static IP address, and I am on a local area network, so I'll just type it in now.
192.168.0.3, edit box, 21.
That's the port number.
Edit box, 10. Pointer out at the caret. Maximum number of simultaneous clients default 10.
And that should be somewhat obvious. I've found that I tend to get poor performance if I have more than about 3 or so. And again, since I'm going to be the only one using this, 3 is more than adequate, so I'll just set that 3.
3. Edit box. 300. Insert. Pointer routed to caret. Maximum number of seconds of inactivity before disconnect default 300.
And that's 5 minutes. That should be more than enough.
Edit box. 600. Pointer routed to caret. Maximum number of seconds before QWK packet creation timeout.
I'm not sure what that is, but I think it has to do with on-the-fly making mail packet downloads or something. If I understand correctly, you should be able to log in with FTP and download your mail.
QWK packets. Checkbox checked. Pointer routed to checkbox. Allow QWK packet transfers.
And that would tend to bear out my theory. I know that on the vert.synchro.net site, which is the author's home BBS, you can download QWK packets with FTP, so I think you could actually download your mail packets that way without even having to log into the BBS, but again, I'm not sure.
Local file system. Checkbox checked. Pointer routed to checkbox. Allow SISOP access to local file system. Requires SISOP password.
Now that is checked, and I will leave that checked because that can be very useful, but I would recommend that initially, at least, you leave that unchecked because essentially what you're doing is if somebody compromises your system password, you're giving them access to every single file on your hard drive. And that could be very destructive, and obviously I won't need to tell you the warnings about all that, but if it's secure and you do have a firewall and you have things set up correctly, then there should be no problem with that.
Directory file access. Checkbox unchecked. Pointer routed to checkbox. Allow users access to files in directory, but not a database. Oh.
And that is unchecked. You may have some index file or something like that laying around, or some file which doesn't have a file description yet, and in that case you don't want users to have access to that. Anyway, so we have the usual OK, cancel, and apply buttons, and then we're on to index.
OK. Button. Cancel. Apply. General. 1 to 4 tab control. Allow. Index. 2 to 4.
Now, to briefly explain this before we go into this, index in this context refers to the file index. For example, on most FTP sites, you have a file called 00 index, or simply index, or in the old days, it might have been called files.bbs, but essentially, they're all basically the same thing. It's just a list of the files in the directory and descriptions of those files. Like you might have sbbs300c.zip, synchronet bbs package, ibbs0302.zip, internet telnet bbs list, etc. In other words, file names and one-line description. And this controls how that's created and done for FTP.
ASCII checkbox. Checked. Insert. Pointer routed to checkbox. Automatically generate index files for file descriptions.
And that just simply means a plain text file with the index. That's usually desirable, and I would always leave that on.
Edit box. 00 index. Pointer routed to caret. Name of ASCII index file default 00 index.
Now I'm going to change that here to just simply index with the I capitalized. And I would recommend that you do that also, because one thing that I've personally discovered that's quite annoying is that each and every different site uses different index names. Like the Interactive Fiction Archive has simply index with capital I. However, most other sites are 00-index, but some are 00-index, and some are just simply 00-index. And some are 00 capital I in index, and some are lowercase I in index. So just to save a lot of confusion, I would just encourage you to use simply index with a capital I, and that way it also shows up first in most cases when sorting the file list, because Windows is not case sensitive, but of course Linux is, and other operating systems are. So if you're looking at the file list, a capital I in index will always show up first, theoretically.
I-N-D-E-X. HTML checkbox. Checked. Pointer routed to checkbox. Automatically generate HTML index files for file descriptions.
Well, obviously you should know what HTML is. That's for your web browser. But again, I would say in this case, I would turn that off because you really don't want people anyway accessing your FTP site with their web browser. They should use FTP clients for that. Even Windows Explorer would work better than a lot of web browsers. And really, if you're going to have them look at an HTML index, you might as well have them go to a go to your website or something like that, so I'm going to uncheck that.
Space. Unchecked. Automatically. Okay. Button.
And we have the usual OK, Cancel, and Apply buttons.
Cancel. Apply. Index. Log. 3. A 4.
And this should be self-explanatory also. It just simply lets you set up what you want logged and not. And that should be pretty obvious, but we'll just go through and see what you can log.
Log. Received commands. Checkbox unchecked. Pointer out at the checkbox. Log debug all received FTP commands. Transmitted responses. Checkbox unchecked. Pointer out at the checkbox. Log debug transmitted FTP responses. Data channel activity. Checkbox unchecked. Pointer out at the checkbox. Log debug data channel operations.
I'm not sure exactly what that is, but it's probably just as well to leave it unchecked.
Log to disk. Checkbox. Checked.
And so now we're done with this menu, so I'll select the OK button.
OK button. Space. Synchronous control panel.
And now we're done with FTP and moving right along.
Up. 1. F. S equals services pull down. T equals FTP pull down. S equals services pull down.
We have the services menu. This is actually less full-featured than I expected, but probably because this is beta software, and I'm sure that will change before the final release. But in the service menu, we have this.
Configure. Start disabled. Stop. Configure.
We don't have view and edit menus here, so I'll just briefly look at the configure menu. Now, this is far less configurable, so to speak, than the other servers, again, partially because I think it is still in testing. But besides that, a lot of it is manually configured. In other words, you have to manually go in and edit the services.cfg file, which I won't explain too much about here because I'm still learning this myself, and it would require a knowledge of JavaScript to really change anything, and the default setup is probably fine anyway. The only thing you might want to do is uncomment some of the services, like you may not want people to use their news reader, such as Outlook Express or Forte Free Agent or things of that nature, to go read through your message bases or FidoNet echoes, so you may want to disable that, but other than that, you probably want to leave everything else on.
Menu closed. Services configuration. General. 1. Of 2 tab control. Sound. 2 of 2.
And I won't look at the sound menu here either, but I will look at the general menu, and we have this.
General. Auto startup. Checkbox. Checked. Hostname lookup. Checkbox checked. Edit box. Any.
And I'll just type in my IP address here.
Pointer out at the caret.
Just make sure we're on the right edit box.
Your network adapter static IP address are blank for any. 1, 2, 3, 6, 8, 3. Services.cfg. Button.
Now, I'll just keep tabbing, but I'll tab back to this and show you this in a minute.
Pointer out at the button.
And there's no help text here.
Okay, button. Services.cfg button.
Now I went ahead and only thing left is the OK button, so I hit Shift Tab and went back to this. Now this pops up a text editor, I'll let you hear that, and this is where you edit your services.cfg. So I'll hit space on that.
Space. Services configuration CSB BSCTRL services.cfg. Rich edit semicolon format semicolon protocol port max clients options hex command line. NNTP 119.0 unlimited 0 service.js HTTP 8080 unlimited 0 Nautilus HTML.js LR 30 finger 790 unlimited 800 finger service.js gopher 70 unlimited 0 gopher service.js.
And there's quite a bit there. Some of it should be obvious. We have, for example, gopher, gopher service.js, finger, finger service.js, etc. I'm not going to spend any time explaining this because, again, I don't know exactly what all of this means either, but that's for a much later section in the tutorial when we get into JavaScript. At this point, we haven't even logged into our VBS for the first time yet. So I'll just ignore that, and I'll get out of this and select OK on the services.
Services configuration. Services.cfg button. OK button. Space. Synchronous control panel. Top. S equals services pull down. V equals view pull down.
We haven't looked at the view menu.
BBS nodes. BBS statistics. Telnet server. Mail server. FTP server. Events. Clients. Toolbar. Status bar. Hack attempt log. BBS Notes.
And that is the view menu. I won't spend any time looking at that either. I will look at the BBS nodes, although I think that's the same as the node list in the control panel, but that will be saved for another program also.
Menu closed. No selected item. List view. No selected item.
And that's an empty list view.
Synchronous control panel. Mail server. No selected. Clients. 1 of 2. Tab control. Statistics.
And I'm just tabbing here to try to figure out where I am and get us back to where we want to be with the node list.
2. Clients. Vert. Vert.
Now it said vert, and that's one of the events. I've now exited Synchronet, that's why it said vert.
Finished vert.
And what that is, what I had to do, it said finished vert. Vert is, as I've said before, the name of the author's BBS is actually something else, but that's its domain name, vert.synchro.net. I believe that is an event, a BBS event or a timed event, I'm not sure which is the idea for downloading QWK mail packets. We won't be getting into that either, except that soon I'll be showing you how to turn off events, and that's one of the things we'll turn off. Now, if you're not using a DOS screen reader for this, you will need to be aware of this, because you'll lose all your speech and know your computer didn't lock up. It's just that you're stuck in a DOS window. All you can do is hit control break and wait a few seconds, and then it will eventually say finished vert, or if you don't have an internet connection, your dial-up networking may pop up. You can safely ignore that. However, if you do want to set up DoveNet Echo Mail, then you should leave this around and just live with it for the time being until you have everything set up the way you want. Anyway, what I had to do is I had to hit Alt-Tab a few times to get to the vert window, and then hit Alt-F4 and hit Enter a few times, and eventually it said finished vert, and I had to hit Alt-F4 again, and that was that. But anyway, that's it for this program, the first part of our tutorial. We've now looked at everything for the most part in the control panel as far as configuration. Thanks everyone for your feedback on the Telnet series. I really appreciate it, and it's nice to know that someone's interested in this type of thing. And as always, please send more feedback. The more the merrier. And also, an announcement to repeat the information I gave you at the beginning of the program. There is now a mailing list to talk about this. To subscribe to that, simply send a message to telnet-request@freelists.org. That's telnet-request@freelists, freelists.org, and put subscribe in the subject. You'll be given a confirmation message which you need to reply to. This is to just make sure that your address works and so your messages don't bounce, and just to save the admin some headaches. I'm the admin, by the way. And then you'll be on the list, and if you have any questions at all, then feel free to ask. You may, of course, write to me privately. However, I will be encouraging more people to write to the list so that other people can help out besides myself. I'm certainly not an answer man. I certainly don't have all the answers for everything, and there are some technical support issues which I certainly can't deal with and don't know anything about. Anyway, thanks for listening, and that's it for the first program in the Synchronet tutorial. That concludes the feature this week for Main Menu, but if you'd like to contact me, please write to mainmenu@beckler.net. That is spelled Main Menu, MAINMENU, at Beckler.net. That is spelled B as in Bravo, AECHLER.net. For more information on this series of programs, or for information on how to purchase them on CD-ROM, please go to http://members.cox.net. That's spelled members.cox.net. /tilde, which is the shift in the grave accent, Beckler, B as in Bravo, AECHLER/. Well, this is Tony Beckler saying goodbye for this week and hoping you enjoyed the program, and please by all means send any comments or suggestions.